Bill said it'd be good to have a time for you guys to share some of your testimonies. Is that all right? Yeah. So how about along the line of what we're sharing here tonight, the name of Jesus. Anybody have a testimony you want to share what God has done in your life?
As most of you know, I'm a truck driver. I put a lot of miles on over the years. And there's one particular incident. I was on the highway following this vehicle. It started raining. I'm driving a steel truck. I'm in back of them. And it's just a little subcompact car. And I saw the brake lights go on. I thought, this is not going to be good. And just as it flashed through my mind, this car is going to spin off the road. There was a sharp, rocky cliff there. I saw, in my mind's eye, I saw this car spin off the road, go up the hill, go down upside down, and land right in front of me, and I was going to T-bone it. But I said, as soon as that car just went out of control, I said, in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
And she came back down off of that wall. And when I passed her, she's sitting there like this on the side of the road. And Hebrews says, the word of God is quick and powerful. Yeah. Of course, that quick means living.
Yeah.
But boy, it was quick. It was instantaneous. Because it could have been a bad situation had not the name of Jesus come out.
Yes. Amen.
I can go on and on about things I see on the road, you know, wrecks that I came upon, or wrecks that happened just as I went through. It's just amazing, God's protection.
Amen. Amen. I know my mother was famous. She yelled out, Jesus, you know. And what does Jesus mean? Savior, deliverer, healer. Amen. Just speak it out. Especially in the highways nowadays, you need to know that name. Yeah. Amen. Good testimony. Amen. Anybody else?
When I was dating my wife and I was working for Agape Services, we were up at the Navy Depot in Mechanicsburg. And we had built up a containment area and we were going to take the asbestos tiles out. So I was working, all suited up, working on this scaffold that wasn't OSHA approved. No railings. And it's about 5 hours into it. Someone called my name and I didn't realize how close my feet were to the edge. Turned the wrong way and landed directly on the terrazzo floor. And direct impact, and I felt pain that I never felt before shoot through my body. I'm 24 years of age. I'm thinking, I'm going to soon be married. I need to be able to work. So I pray, believe I receive. Didn't feel any better, but just was standing on the word. So then they took me to Holy Spirit Hospital. We were in Camp Hill at the time. And I'm just testifying to the receptionist, and she's looking at me like I'm crazy. And then they took an x-ray, and my L4 vertebrae was separated from my column. And they said, you're going to be here for 3 days, most likely, but absolutely 2 days. And but in a few hours, a specialist is going to come in, maybe like 3 hours later. And once that specialist came in, he had me stand up, slowly bend down until you feel a point of pain. I was able to go the whole way down, come back up, and he's looking befuddled. And he said, I don't know how you did that. I said, I know. I said, the Lord healed me. He said, I don't know about that, but you have somebody to pick you up. You don't need to stay here. So then I had a follow-up appointment where they tried to, like, reason it away. But, oh, did you play football? Did you do that? No. So the Lord is good. He healed
Amen.
Me.
Thank God for the name. Amen.
All right. Well, I know some of you might know this, but it was 6 years back. I was having a lot of back pains, and they wanted to do an MRI on me. So during the MRI, they said, we found something on your kidney. and they said, we need to get that checked. So when it was checked, I had cancer in the kidney. And they said it was about the size of a golf ball, and your kidney's probably only size of 3 golf balls. So right away, my wife got into a little bit of fear, and I said, you need to rest in God. I said, everything's going to be all right. I said, there's no problems. I'll be fine. And we went into this one restaurant, and there were 3 guys sitting over there, and they had their Bibles open and everything. And I walked over, and I said, can I join you? And they said, yeah, you can join us. So I told them, I said, there's cancer in my kidney. And I said, I'm believing God for a complete recovery. And right away, they started saying, well, you know, that isn't how God works. He said, God is, you know, God will, you know, he may let you live longer or something like that. I said, no. I said, I want complete recovery. So they said, well, what do you want then? I said, well, I'd like to keep my kidney, but I said, if I don't, I don't care. I just want the cancer to go away. So anyway, it came to the time of when the operation was supposed to go, and they said, yeah, we're going to have to take the whole kidney out. I said, go ahead. So they did, and as she was carrying the kidney from my body over to a jar to put it in the jar, the tumor burst in her hand. And she told me this, and I said, well, that was the protection of God. I said, I told them that I believed that God was going to heal me. Never had to go through chemotherapy, didn't have to go through anything else, and the cancer never came back.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Faith in his name, how about it?
Yes.
Now, I had the privilege to be raised in a church. The Pentecostal church was... We had a lot of signs and wonders. As a kid, seeing the miracles and stuff like that, so it hasn't been hard for me to believe God, like some folks. I remember my brother and I and my 2 other brothers, we were at a farmer's place and we were riding a golf cart around. And as a kid, that's a great thing, riding a golf cart. And we're heading down this driveway and my brother said, let me steer it. And he was 4 years younger than me. I don't know how old I was. I was about 16 maybe, so he's about 12. I left him, grabbed the steering wheel, and it immediately flipped us over. He wasn't ready for the tension on the wheel. The golf cart came down and landed right on top of him. And he actually was bleeding internally. Now, my dad, we didn't go to doctors. We never took medicine. It was almost thought to be a sin if you went. It wasn't said that, but it was implied. And, but I remember that night, my brother was bleeding. He was coughing up blood. And they were saying, you need to take him to the hospital. Everybody was. But the next day was Sunday. They brought him to church. I remember they brought him in on a stretcher. They got the elders to anoint with oil. Amen. And the prayer of faith of what? Save the sick and raise them up. And I remember he jumped out of that cart, ran around the church. The whole church was shouting and praising God because of faith in the name. It's just, we just try to reason things out and don't expect these things. But as a kid, we had a Sunday night healing service and people came from miles around back in those days, back in the 50s and 60s. A little church out in the country, we'd have 300 people there on a Sunday night. That was a big church in those days. But, you know, come for to see God's power manifested. And it's because of faith in the name. And I believe God wants to bring it back to the church again where we start trusting him in greater measures. Amen. You don't have to, but if you want to please him, you have to. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, not occasionally. A lot of people are occasional seekers. I call them casual seekers. No, we're to diligently seek. And he rewards. He's a rewarder. I think I can say about in my life, God has been a rewarder. Amen. He recompenses. That word means to pay. He pays you for serving him. Pays you with all kind of good stuff. All kind of benefits. Amen. Anybody else want to share but something in your life that God did for you? Yes.
Back raising my boys, I have four boys, and they were homeschooled, but we were homeschooling the boys back when I lived on Mount Pisgah Road. This is probably like 10 years ago or more. We were sitting there, and I heard a thud on the door, and it was summertime. We had a screen door there, and my son Samuel, which he's an animal lover, he ran to the door and looked down, and here was a dead bird laying there. And so he goes out and grabs a hold of it, you know, and he's looking at it, and the other boys were there too. And I said, well, go ahead and pray for it, you know. I don't even know if I said that. He probably said, let's pray for this bird, you know. And they started praying for it. And after a while, that bird kind of cranked up and stood up in his hand and flew off and flew around the house like three times and went in the tree. And I was like, praise the Lord.
Amen. Awesome. Amen.
Well, it was maybe, I don't know how long later, about a year later or something, or a couple months it might have been, but we were at my mom and dad's house and the same thing happened. I heard a bang on the door. And my son Joshua, that was Samuel, the first one, but Joshua ran out, and he looked, and there's this bird laying there, and he goes and grabs it, and he said, we got to get Sam, we got to get Sam. And Sam was there, he's like, no one's here to pray for this bird, you pray for that bird. And he started praying for the bird, and the bird did the same thing, flapped his wings, went around the house three times, and took off. I was like, praise the Lord, you know. Yeah, it was awesome, but Pastor Bill always says, yeah, I want your boys praying for me. But maybe a couple weeks later, we were up in the barn working around at my mom and dad's, and Zeke comes running in the barn. He's like, guys, we got to pray, this cat is dead. And he was holding a rat that was mummified. I said, put that thing down. We're not praying.
Actually, I like to pray for animals because they don't resist your faith. You know, they don't have any doubt and unbelief. There's a verse that says all creation is waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. They're waiting for us to take our place and take authority over us and set them free. Amen? We had a... My brother and I had got some Norwegian elk hounds, you know, Norwegian elk hound dogs. And this is about the time I started reading these books by Hagen, you know, so I was on fire. And both of our dogs got worms. And his dog died. My dog would fall over, and I'd stick that thing up and say, you live in Jesus' name. My mom says she remembers me watching me out there doing this. I'd stand that dog up, it'd flop over. I'd say, in Jesus' name, you're going to live. That dog lived another 11 years, so yeah, without any shots or anything, you know, they didn't get any worm shot. It's a matter of us taking our authority and saying, hey, I had enough. Enough's enough. Jesus, the name above all names. Anybody else? Sure, come on up. Pastor Bill told me to do this, so have you guys share testimonies.
A couple years ago, I was working for a construction company. We were building a house for a guy, and me and another guy were putting the sheeting on the roof, and we were done where we were at. We were going to move over to another part of it, and I had decided, instead of going down the outside or whatever, and moving over with the guy with the lift, I was just going to go down through the rafters of the house, go down through the second floor and go out the garage door and meet him over where he was going. And at that point in time, there was no stairs in the house yet. It was just the stair. Yeah, just the hole in the floor for the stairs. And previously, someone had, on the first floor, had built a little railing around the stairs because the last house they built, the company, the owner of the company, his son had stepped back into the stair shaft and fell into the basement pushing wood up. So they put this little railing around, and someone put a sheet of plywood on, and we were using it as a cutting table. And at one point, I had been standing on that earlier in the day, and so when I went down through the rafters, I just dropped down through that the stair shaft, and I landed on that piece of plywood, and the whole thing broke when I hit it. And I hit the, I caught the first floor with my chin and like jammed my jaw back and split my chin open and fell into the basement on the concrete floor. And I was like, I just know, I remember kind of dropping through and then like laying down there looking up and my boss like looking down the hole, like gets a ladder and puts it down because there's no way to get out of the basement. Yeah, there's no stairs in the basement. And so I got out of there and I called one of the people from our church to pray for me. And so she prayed for me and we went, we were staying in the camper while we were working on this place. Me and the boss were back in the camper. We super glued my chin shut and 45 minutes later I was back on the roof.
Amen. 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 It says the prayer of faith. That's not, Lord, if it be your will. We need to know what the will is. It's His will that we are healed. Amen. So be careful you, what elders you call to pray for you. What church you want people to believe this stuff. Amen. But good stuff. Anybody else? Come on. God's been doing stuff in your lives.
Just a little bit about how the devil works and a little bit about taking authority. A couple of years ago, I got up one morning and my wrist really hurt, really sore, both of them. And first thought that hit me was my dad had arthritis really bad in his wrist and he had to stop doing a lot of stuff that he liked to do. And that went on for like a couple days. And so the thoughts were, oh, I'm going to get arthritis and it's going to be bad and I won't be able to play golf and all this stuff. And it finally hit me, you know, that the devil, because I never said nothing. I never even told my wife. And I finally realized that the devil was trying to put that on me. And I said, no, you don't, Mr. Devil. I'm not taking this.
Amen.
And that was like 3 days later. Never happened again.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
But that's how he works. Give you the thought first, and then when you say it, you take the thought.
Yes.
Amen. Yeah. The first thing out of your mouth when you're in a test or trial like that will determine the end of your test, your trial. So you want to make sure you're speaking the word. Yes, sir. Yeah, don't sign the contract, huh? Yeah. Like I said, I had my diagnosis 2.5 years ago. I had fifth stage, whatever, I won't talk about it. Fifth stage is pretty bad, whatever. And, you know, I just refused to say it. To this day, I will not agree with that. And like I said, I've gotten better. I'm going through some treatments, but I'm getting better. Hallelujah. They're sort of amazed because people don't get better. I'm not a regular people, though. I'm a believer. But you have to fight the good fight of faith. And it's a fight dealing with your thought life. I remember my wife, we walked out of that doctor's office at the time. She said, what are we going to do? I said, what do you mean what we're going to do? We're going to live by the word. That's what I believe and teach and preach. You know, we're healed by the stripes, Jesus. I'm not going to accept that diagnosis. Amen. Amen. I got a better one. Live by the word. I told people years ago, that's why I went and got my doctor's degree, so I could give you some medicine, prescribe medicine to you, and do surgery through the word. So, amen. That really throws me for a loop. They say. Anybody else want to share something? It's good to hear you, what God's doing in your lives. Sure. Well, let Steve up here first.
More and more I've had a real desire in my heart, the way the Lord's been teaching me and dealing with me, to pray for people, for healing, whatever they need, blessing. And just yesterday, I had one of those situations, and God's been bringing them to me. But anyways, I'm in this prayer meeting that I go to on Thursday morning called Hidden Man, that I was invited to like a year and a half ago. And there's this man in there who's, I didn't know, but he's 88, and he's a sweet man. His name is Tom, and he knew my father-in-law, and there's other men in there that knew him, and I got saved when he prayed for me. So the connection was that. And his coat was wrecked when he came in back in May, and he asked me, "Can you fix this?" And so I said, "Okay, I'll fix it." And I tried to fix it myself. I couldn't fix it. So I was going to take it to Brenda's Sewing. And that I got it fixed, but I didn't get it fixed right away. I was just so busy. So about a month ago, I took it there and made arrangements for it to be fixed. And then I went away last week, and I came back, and it was ready. I picked it up Thursday after the meeting, and I called them, him and his wife, and they were so happy. I guess people don't do those things. I just did it because the Lord, you know, telling me to love people, and through that love, they're opened up to whatever God wants to do for them. And so I called him, and they said, "Come over to my house." And I brought it to him and his wife. And I didn't know all this stuff about them. But they brought me inside, and they were so happy, and sat me down in the living room. "Tell us what's, you know." So I started telling the testimony, because that's what the Lord told me to do. And it was a story about how I got saved with my father-in-law. Was talking to Patty and my wife, who we weren't, and when I met her at Syracuse, and he said, "We'll pray for her." And this guy knew my father-in-law. He's 88. And that's why the Lord told me to tell him this testimony. And I told him, and it was very miraculous. A lot of things happened, and I won't go into all that. But it was totally miraculous, and his wife and him were just listening. Because they knew Webb, my father. And this happened, and they were listening, and they were lighting up. And then I wanted to pray for him, because I knew he had his speech is getting bad, and his comprehension of what he hears is getting bad. So he's got some kind of dementia thing going on. But I don't care. I don't care how old he is. If he wants it, he can have it. Amen. I didn't say that to him, though. I wanted to pray for him. Well, here's what happened. After the testimony, I was sitting next to him, and he said, "Will you pray for me?" Yeah, sure. I got down on my knees, laid hands on him, prayed prayer of faith, prayed healing, you know, quoted scriptures, the whole thing. He was totally open and receiving. And then he told me that he was healed of cancer 10 years ago. So I didn't know this guy actually believed. You know, I thought he was just a regular churchgoer kind of person that doesn't believe very well. And then I told him another testimony, because he kept on getting more fired up in the Lord. And I just knew that he's getting healed.
Amen.
Of this.
Amen. Amen.
So when my kids were in middle school, we wanted to send them to a Christian school. And coming up, and times were tight financially. And I remember just crying out to God and just believing to somehow supply our need. And not long after that prayer, he sent a couple to our house, gave us $1,000, and said, "Lord told us to give this to you." And no strings attached. I just went into the bathroom and cried, and thank God, you know, he's just so good. So I definitely knew I didn't deserve it, but he's gracious and kind.
Amen. Praise the Lord. He's the God that looks ahead and provides, doesn't he? That's in his name. He's the provider. Amen. Anybody else? Can we take time to pray for anybody here tonight that maybe you need a healing in your body? When we talk about the name, we'll use it.
Absolutely.
We don't want you suffering for nothing. God's not trying to teach you something. If he was, it'd be a sin to try to get better. He wants us healed. He wishes above all things we'd prosper and be in health.
Absolutely.
Even as our soul prospers, or how much we renewed our minds to the whole thing. Amen. Anybody need prayer for anything specific? Yes, sir. Okay. Sure. Hey, God's the healer. My wife got a case of Lyme disease, and the doctor said it was the worst she ever saw. But she has no symptoms from it. We said no way in Jesus' name. No way, Jose. What's the guy's name?
Evan.
Amen. Let's take out the throne. Father, we just thank you for this throne room of grace and mercy that you have.
Yes.
You say we're to come boldly to it and to obtain mercy in our time in need. And we just lift up this man who's been smitten by some kind of bug that causes Lyme disease. And we curse that thing in Jesus' name. May it dry up and may he begin to amend wherever he may be. We'll give you the glory for it, Father. We thank you, Father, that your healing power is evident. You sent your word and you healed us, Lord. So we send that word that we are the healed now in Jesus' name, Lord. May he begin to amend. And may the doctors be amazed. And you get the glory from it, Father, in Jesus' name. We ask, Lord, that our joy may be full. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. It's not hard to pray, is it? Especially when you have that welcome to come in there and receive. But you got to find grace. You got to find it with your faith. Amen. Amen. Well, that's all I had for tonight. Anyhow, I was prepared for 3 sessions, so I got 2 tomorrow, I guess, right?
Yeah.
In the morning and 1 afternoon. So, okay. What time's breakfast? 5 o'clock. 8 o'clock, okay. I preach for food, so I'll be here. 8 o'clock, good. Then we'll have a session in the morning and then lunch. And is it, what time do you wind up here? 3? By 3, right?
Tell you what's happened here. So, Brother Shane usually does this, as you know. We'll get this on. Okay. Brother Shane usually does this, and he was detained because of a car issue. So he said, "I'll be there in the morning." So I'm just passing a message along. So, hi, Randy. This is taking much longer than we thought. So that's where we're at. So 8 o'clock, breakfast tomorrow. 9 o'clock, we'll be in this room, which is just through that glass door. And so he's saying, use this room over here as long as you want. Gym. You know, all those kinds of things. Like, don't know how it works here because I've been going to sleep as I've gotten older over the many years that we've come up here. I used to play basketball. Remember, Steve? When we were young, Steve, you still go over there, don't you? See that? He's way ahead of me. But anyway, he goes over there and smacks it around with the young guys. Love that, Steve. So hang out there. There's all kinds of games, still things going over there. Meet you here for breakfast at 8 o'clock. In this room at 9 o'clock, we'll start over again. Father, thank you for this word that you've given us tonight. Thank you that we can go away and chew it, Father. Chew on it like a cow chews up grass and has got a cut in his mouth, Lord. We have the word of God that's just being chewed up in our spirit. Lord, digested, Father, that this word of faith that was preached today will not come back void, Father, but it will return with an investment that's been made. There will be fruit that will come forth, Father, and we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen.